Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelow
and Sophie Kessler. Welcome back to the Mind Mastery and Manifestation podcast. We are so happy to have you guys here once again. And today's going to be a little bit of a more interesting topic as we dive into the concepts of stress. Now, we spent the last two episodes really diving into emotional frequencies, vibrations, and understanding flow and how all of that works. Now, we also want to touch up and really address stress specifically because it is a very real thing. Especially for those of you who do anything outside of just living. So having a job, having a family, having relationships, there are so many different pieces of our lives that can create stress. And what we want to do is provide for you an understanding and tools to help you better prepare for it, and more importantly, to learn how to alleviate it so you can move into those higher vibrational frequencies.
So the very first thing is to acknowledge that you have it, because stress is one of those things that, especially in the Western world, where we're all overachievers, we like to think that, no, I don't feel stressed. I hear this a lot from people come to me. No, I'm not stressed. I'm just a little tired. No, I'm not overwhelmed. No, I'm just not feeling that great. It's a little stressed. Nah, I can handle it. No big deal. And then at the same time, right now, we have more young, healthy people dropping dead of heart disease and heart attacks and like in their 40s and 50s, way too young. And one of the leading causes of that is stress, because it causes all sorts of other behaviors. It runs down the body, ruins the ability to make good, healthy choices and use your willpower. We're going to go through all this, but it starts, prevention, healing, all that goodness starts with just admitting, and it's okay to admit that you're stressed out and that you feel sometimes intense amounts of stress. I know I do. It's not anything shameful to say that absolutely, I'm an empowerment coach, and there are times in my life that I feel enormous amounts of stress and pressure. And it's not about always being sort of immune to stress. It's about knowing what to do when you feel it. And it's about structuring your habits, your daily life, and your work weeks so that you can minimize it. And we're going to give you tools and strategies and understandings to do all of that in this episode.
Absolutely. And the most important thing to understand is that it's not about never experiencing stress, right? Because it's a natural and normal part of our human existence. We need it in a way to help us survive, right? But the difference here is understanding long-term stress versus short-term stress. Right. And so to give you an example, if you were to be out and about late at night, walking around, let's say, the streets of LA, and you're walking into a probably not so great neighborhood, you're going to feel your body start to get a little anxious. A little adrenaline's going to come up. You might even feel the hairs on the back of your neck stand up, and you're going to start to have a little bit of stress show up and prepare you and get you into that fight or flight mode, whether or not you need to run or you need to fight, whatever you need to do, make sure that you protect yourself. And so in that moment, that stress is necessary in case some sort of danger were to occur. But what happens is, once we leave that external environment and we're back to our home where we're safe and we're good and we're happy, it's the long-term stress where we're continuously living and putting our body into that emotional state, that fight or flight mode. We're activating all of these stress hormones and we're not able to get out of it because we keep thinking about how scary and how terrifying, and our body is consistently believing that we're still in that moment. It's that long-term stress of constantly feeling like we cannot stop thinking or feeling this way that really starts to put the body at dis-ease, or in other words, what we would call disease. And this is where you get a lot of these medical symptoms and a lot of these things that occur where your body starts breaking down because it doesn't have the time to heal itself, because it can't when it's in fight or flight mode. It literally cannot heal itself when it's operating from your sympathetic nervous system, which is why we have to talk about this topic.
And so let's talk a little bit more about what stress actually does in the body so we understand, okay, well, what is it when you have this long-term stress? What exactly does it do? So Sophie brought up again the concept of the sympathetic nervous system. Well, you have a central nervous system that pretty much runs your entire body, all the functions in your body. And it gets split in the sympathetic and the parasympathetic. The sympathetic is really all about survival. And that's why it takes care of your fight or flight response. Now, if you think about it, back in the day when getting eaten by a saber-toothed tiger was a thing, fight or flight meant, yeah, I'm either going to have to punch this tiger in the face or run away. Now, if you think about what your body needs to be able to do in order to do that and survive, you'll quickly realize that a lot of other things that you do on a day-to-day basis have to take a back seat, such as creativity or even strategy, long-term planning, or other things like breaking down fat or healing, right? You don't have time for any of that. Fight or flight, if I have to fight a monster or run away from it, the body needs to move fast. It's got no time for anything else. So it actually starts shutting down parts of your brain that are responsible for longer term benefits, because it doesn't even know if you're going to see the longer term. So it switches your body into this really almost frantic mode of producing high levels of energy and then also tuning yourself to be able to move quickly and violently if you need it. And that's also why if you've ever been really stressed out, you might have snapped at someone you love or made a sudden and rash decision or felt yourself almost losing control of your body. Because that's what it's doing. It's revving you up so that you can do this. But in this day and age, we don't have saber-toothed tigers. You're most likely freaking out in a kitchen or sitting in an office chair. And so this really doesn't help us anymore.
Absolutely. And this is where we get into that state of disease, right? Where we believe that... a great example that Joe Dispenza uses in a lot of his talks is that our mother-in-law is that giant saber-toothed tiger. And having that thought of the mother-in-law or the job or whatever it is that is creating that state of stress, the fact that it is constantly existing in our mind is what we are actually turning on, meaning we have the conscious ability to turn on and turn off your sympathetic nervous system. We have the ability to turn on and turn off this emotional stress. What happens oftentimes, though, is people become unconscious. They become unaware of the fact that they actually are stressed out, which is why the first step to alleviating any stress is becoming aware of the fact that you are living in a stressful state.
And so you admit it. Now you start feeling it. And it's important to know this. And I'm going to go over a lot of stuff that may or may not have been happening in your world. And it may or may not be something that you feel immediately comfortable admitting, but you got to do it. You just have to recognize what stress may or may not have been doing in your life. So you create this image in your mind of the mother-in-law or whatever, a meeting that's not going to go well, and immediately your body recognizes a threat. And instantly it starts shutting down your prefrontal cortex. And that's the part of your brain that's designed for strategic and logical thought, amongst other things. But it starts shutting it down because that's a longer term thing. You don't need that right now. You need to make sudden and rash decisions so that you can survive, even though you're just thinking about this meeting. Now, the next thing that happens is that it starts suppressing the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the source of your creativity, patience, willpower. Ever try to stick to a diet when you're really stressed out? I mean, no, not even a question. Forget it. I had a rough day. Give me the burger. right? Give me all the fries and put some chili, or you have an animal style or whatever, right? Give me all the cheese. Give me all the fatty goodness and beer, lots of beer, right? Now, this is a double whammy, because when you are in fight or flight, when you are in stress, your body switches in to a much higher energetic mode in terms of you need to be able to run, so you need a lot of energy. But it doesn't have time for slower processes of getting you energy, such as breaking down fat. So fat, we have fat because we store it for energy. But breaking that down takes a lot of time and energy in and of itself. No time for that. So it pushes cortisol into your blood, which immediately stops breaking down fat. And at the same time, because you need quick energy, your body starts craving the worst foods, sugary crap, high carbs, junk food. That way you have cheap, quick energy. So here you are eating junk and not being able to process the fat that you're building. Double whammy. And cortisol also really loves to put fat on your belly and thighs. You know, just the worst places to have it. No big deal. So all this is happening all at the same time when you're starting to feel stressed out. Now, this is where stress really does a number. So now we're already kind of freaked out. We've stopped being able to think strategically, so we're already making bad decisions. We've lost willpower, so we're eating and doing things we shouldn't be doing. We can't think creatively because that's a longer-term process, so we're thinking very literally, very concretely, and very much in the short term. We're eating food that makes us feel like garbage, and we can't process it. And then stress makes you think and be aware of all of the other things that stress you out even more. Because when there's a threat, it wants to know where are all the other threats. If there's danger, it wants to know where all the danger is. And, you know, when you seek, you shall find, to the point of creating it. And believe me, if you don't see anything, the way you're going to feel after you eat all that or make those crappy decisions or destroy your diet or snap at someone you love, that's going to stress you out. So the coup de grace, stress gives you more stress. It's an amazing thing. And you can see he's starting to really wonder, okay, how do I get rid of this?
And this is where we really get into the importance of understanding what is causing that emotional stress in your life, right? Becoming aware of it, accepting it, acknowledging it, and then looking at those different pieces so we can start to go through a process of eliminating this stress. And so Dan has a really, really cool exercise for you guys on this. But before we get into that, one of the biggest things that I want to really bring up here is talking about how important your lifestyle and your routine and your habits are in really creating a place, a state where you are not constantly living in emotional stress, but you are able to move into these higher frequency emotions like we've talked about in the previous episodes. So some of the biggest things, again, to really get yourself out of this emotional state of stress is moving into places where you can connect with yourself and disconnect from the external world. And this is so, so important. Some of these processes are going to be different for every person, which is why if you have not watched the previous two episodes on flow and energy, I would highly encourage going back so you can figure out what are the activities, the things that I can do that get me into a state of flow where I feel energized. What are the things that move me into that? Because that's going to be different for every person. What it involves, though, is connecting with yourself and detaching from your external environment enough to where you can go internally and start to turn off that fight or flight and start to really go into a state of becoming more creative. And so a big thing here, number one, is going to be, again, your physical world. This has to be the first thing that you take care of. Because if you don't take care of this, you won't have anything left to take care of the other elements. So number one, your physiological basic needs. Are you sleeping? Are you eating clean, nutritious food? And are you getting enough water? Right? Once you take care of your basic physical pieces, then we can move into that emotional piece, What are the emotions that you're not dealing with, or maybe that are present but you haven't been aware of, right? And how can we start to shift these emotions? And if you want to go back to the previous episode to learn about that hierarchy, that ladder that Dan talked about, it'll be very, very, very helpful for this piece. Once you start to shift those emotions, then we can move into your mental space. And your mental space is where we can start really thinking about the things that you're actually thinking about and how you're thinking about those things. So we can start to shift the perspective and the way that you're looking at them that can be aligned with the emotional states that you want to experience. And what's beautiful is when you start to move into that spiritual element, right, that soul level, stress almost doesn't exist there. It does, but not in the way that it would when you're living from your physical self. And so it's understanding as you're moving up this ladder, right, as you're going through these different elements, it's imperative to making sure that you do take care of your physical and your emotional and your mental self in that order.
And it's really important to understand that physical stress and emotional stress are related. Some people like to treat their bodies and their emotions, or their bodies and the minds, however you like to think about it, as separate. They're not. They're not at all. And it's really important to remember that. And you know, study after study after study has shown that your diet, especially diets that create inflammation, create emotional stress. Your body gets stressed out. And so as a result, your emotions become more stressed out. And when we talk about clean food, please do yourself a favor. If you can afford it, really look carefully at your budget, because this is very important. Try to find the funds to eat organic and eat more of a plant-based diet, less prefabricated foods, right? So fewer things that come out of a box, more things that come out of the ground, and less dairy, less foods that have gluten in it, breads, pastas. Right now, they have a lot of gluten-free stuff, which is really easy. They have like rice pastas, quinoa pastas, stuff like that. So if you're going to eat a prefab food, go for something like that. Sugar. Sugar is one of the leading causes of inflammation in the body. And the more you can decrease that, the more calm and relaxed you're going to feel, because your body is going to be a lot less inflamed. So change your diet first. It's the easiest thing. Your body will be even happier, and then so will you. But you also know the feeling of the emotional stress impacting your body. Think about it right now. Do you feel lighter or heavier when you're really stressed out? Ever been so stressed that it feels like you've got weights attached to your ankles? That's kind of what I feel like. It's almost hard to stand up straight. And what about the other side? When you feel totally joyous, in full gratitude, no stress at all, how light do you feel sometimes? Almost like you lost 15 pounds overnight. Like you're just riding on a bubble. So you can see there that your emotional stress can also lead to physical stress. So that's why Sophie's talking about like the full package. You got to get it all. If you really want to live a stress-free life, you've got to go for your physical and your emotional. And that gives you access to the spiritual.
Absolutely. And so just like as Dan is talking about here, guys, you can't have one without the other, unfortunately. So it really is a beautiful thing to recognize in yourself and in your routine and lifestyle how those different pieces are at play and the opportunity that you have to make the change in there. So as we're moving into this, you'll start to see when you take care of your physical body, when you start to actually use it the way that it was meant to be used, right? When you give it that exercise, that naturally releasing for dopamine and all those other feel-good chemicals, you'll start to have different emotions show up. And those different emotions will lead way for you to start thinking differently and seeing things differently, which is where this whole mental piece comes in. Because again, I think Dan, you and I can both contest for this fact. It's impossible to change somebody's mental state, like what they're thinking about, when their physical and their emotional states are in such a crappy place. The first thing that we have to do with any client is help them take care of their physical and emotional self so they have the mental capacity to do the internal work. Otherwise, you're only going to be able to create from the state that you're currently living in. And if that's one of stress and fear, it's going to be impossible for you to create something better than that.
Yeah. And I can feel it for myself too, that when I feel a little stress and I'm trying to do something a little bit more high-minded, it's really hard. So I look at it as well. Okay, well, did something shift in my physical reality or in my emotional reality? And I go after those first. Now, I think this would be a great time to just go over some of our favorite stress-relieving habits. I know a lot of people have asked me for morning routines or what do I do during the day in order to feel refreshed, revived, and stuff like that. And, you know, I used to be really bad at this. And I would just work until I get burnt out. And yeah, I think you know what burnout feels like. It's when you go so far that you just don't care about anything anymore. You go push yourself so stressed out, it's like your nerves just fray. They burn out. And it's impossible to get anything done. And we'd like to avoid that at all costs. So there are all sorts of things that you can do during your day-to-day life. And some of them take some time. Some of them don't, really. That will allow you to build in some stress relieving moments in your day. I love meditation. I mix a couple of meditations into my day. I'm also a Reiki healer, so I do Reiki on myself while meditating, and I found that that's wildly rejuvenating. But I also like learning things every day. I make sure that I learn something, and I like books. There is something kind of stressful to the eyes and the body about looking at a screen all the time. So I make sure to always have old school books, not a Kindle. Kindle doesn't count. Like, you know, those pages things, it comes in paper, those, and, you know, that you can actually hold and turn. And make sure that even if it's just 10 or 15 minutes, that I can settle down and I can focus on learning something that I'm really into. And that's really relaxing. Things like exercise, like Sophie said, you know, both of us exercise a lot.
A lot.
And I like to both work out in the gym and do yoga. And then on the weekends, if I can convince one of my friends to go with me, I'll go trail running or I'll go hiking or I'll do something outside. In fact, just being outside, this is not really a topic for now, if you've ever heard of grounding or earthing, when you can reconnect with nature, that's just as simple as walking around in the grass barefoot. You know how good that feels. That's very calming and relaxing. Just getting some sun, getting some of that vitamin D into your skin is really good and soothing, or being by a body of water. So there are all sorts of things. And then, of course, going through the previous episodes and using the techniques that we gave you to find out what you really love doing. It doesn't need to be anything profound. Listening to music, cooking, anything like that. What about you, Sophie? What do you do to calm down, relax?
I think you covered a lot of them.
Yeah, we're very like-minded.
We're very much similar in that way. But yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing here, and again, for me personally, it's fitness. Like, if I don't work out one day, oh, you're going to know. I'm just not very fun to be around if I don't get my workout in, because it's such a stress relieving activity for me. It feels so good to lift some weights and tear some muscles and get things growing. It feels so good for me to go on a run and just get my body moving. And I think one of the other big things for me is at least once every quarter, at a minimum, I take a few days off and I just go somewhere where I can dance my butt off and just enjoy life, right? And for me, that's huge. It's paramount because it allows me to kind of step out of my own world, right? My own reality of like work and all this other fun stuff, which is great. But having something that you can do and step into that's separate from your business and your career, I think is absolutely imperative, where you can fully express yourself freely without having to think about how it's going to be in your business or networking or clients, which I have found, especially in the world of entrepreneurship, to be so important, especially for newer entrepreneurs, because it's so easy to get lost in your business that you almost lose your identity in it, which is why for me personally, having pieces outside of it, like the gym, like fitness, right now I'm training for bikini comp because I want to prove to myself that I can do it. And I've noticed how much of a difference the diet that I've been on, as freaking clean as it is, it feels so much better. And I'm so much more aware of, if I do decide to get a piece of cheesecake one night, how much more sensitive my body is. So eating clean, eating a hell of a lot more greens, as Dan mentioned. I think one thing that I love doing as well, on top of the meditations, are hot showers and baths. Because it's one thing that really allows my body to relax. And I'm sure a lot of you get all these great ideas when you're in the shower. And that's partly because your body's finally able to relax. It's finally able to get out of that stress mode. So for me, again, anything out in nature, as Dan mentioned, good diet, good exercise, and then finding something outside of your business where it's something that it's just yours, right? And you'll learn about this. We talked about it in the previous episode of flow. So really spend the time to think about that. And as you get clear on what these exercises or routines or habits are for you, the most important piece is figuring out how to create a lifestyle around that.
Now, there are some things here that are really important. I love that you brought up going and dancing your butt off, because it's play. Mm-hmm. And we like to think, no, we're adults, I don't play.
No. It's
garbage. That's absolute garbage, and you're heading for a heart attack.
Absolutely.
So play comes in all sorts of forms, by the way. It doesn't necessarily mean play like a child. Play can be art. It could be painting or just sitting down and jamming with your friends or learning how to play guitar. It could be cooking something, trying to create a recipe in the kitchen. Without a recipe, right? Just like looking into your fridge and doing your own version of Top Chef. You can be dancing. You can go on a random field trip. You can go to one of those painting and wine nights. There's so many things, like Sophie's saying, that has nothing to do with your business. Just for you, just for fun, just because it feels good in the moment. Not so much results oriented. Now, here's where we get into a little bit of a fine line, because people will often tell me that they go drinking with their friends to blow off steam. And I'm not going to tell you to stop drinking. I did for about a year and a half. It was insane. And I did with Sophie to eat super, super clean, to the point where if I had like a Snickers, I'd wake up hungover. I'm not saying you have to do that, okay? Yeah. I go drinking with my friends, sure. But there's sometimes when people do it to a level that actually backfires. Go out, sure, have a couple drinks, go laugh, go tell, you know, crazy stories with your buds, go dancing until your feet hurt. All that stuff is awesome. But some people go kind of off the deep end and they really get after it. And really what that does, they think they're blowing off steam, but they're actually pissing their body right off. Mm-hmm. And they wake up depleted, super hungover, body hurts, lactic acid spread through all of their muscles. Not only that, but an emotional dip. So when you get that messed up, you go out and get boldly hammered, then one, yeah, you might do something that might make you feel not so hot in the morning. You might also open yourself up emotionally. So when we get to that level, we actually open ourselves up to the emotions of others. It's like our guards drop. And sometimes that's why we drink, right? Because it's fun. But the guards drop in a lot of other ways too. And that's why if emotional contagion happens much easier when you're wasted. And so if you go out to a bar, you got to be really careful about who you're with, especially if you're going after it. Better yet, just make sure you do it in moderation, because otherwise you're going to actually get a stressed out body and a stressed out emotional system. And it's going to make it really hard to do whatever you wanted to do that day. So just make sure your stress relievers don't become stress inducers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I love that you touched on this again, because I know that a lot of people that do listen to this podcast are business owners or entrepreneurs, or you guys are in some way, you're high career oriented. It's imperative that you have something outside of your business. It's imperative, because that's what allows you to really go out and play. And as Dan said, it's so important to be able to have that part of you where you can express yourself freely. So really, really hope you guys take to heart some of the things that we mentioned. And again, it might be different for each and every single one of you, but just making sure that you do have that for yourself and creating a lifestyle around these habits.
And now we got an awesome process for you. So you can actually, once you learn how the unconscious mind works, you can actually clear stress out on command, and you're about to learn one way. It's called the stress scrambler, and it's real quick. It takes less than 60 seconds after you know how to do it. Just a little bit of background on this. Your unconscious mind stores all information symbolically and emotionally, actually, but symbolically. And by that, I mean, well, think of modern art, where if you go into a modern art museum, you might see something on the wall that seems to make no sense. It's just a bunch of colors and lines. But if you ask the artist for the meaning, they'll be able to tell you, well, this purple dot over here represents hope. And, you know, this cat over here represents how I feel when I'm stressed out. And the gray background is this and that and that. Size and the shape and everything. Everything has a meaning. And if you changed one of those details, the meaning of the entire piece of art would change as well. So your unconscious mind stores information just like that. And when you learn what you can change, then you learn that you can change, just like that modern art piece, you can change the meaning of that piece of information as well. Now, the very strongest way that we do it, just like, you know, modern art, the most popular way of creating modern art is visual. Yeah, you have auditory sounds, you have kinesthetic feelings, but most of the time it starts with something visual. So we're going to do the same thing. So you're going to ask yourself, first of all, where am I on a scale of 0 to 10, where 0 being no stress at all, 10 being the most stressed out. Where am I on this scale? This kind of lets you assess. Remember, the very first step is admitting that you are kind of stressed. And so you kind of want to know where you are. Let's say you do this and you find you're a 7. That's pretty high. Anything over 5, by the way, you're pretty stressed. So let's say you're at a 7. You ask, as I think about my stress, by the way, this isn't the thing that stresses you out. As you think about the stress itself, then you're going to ask, do I have a picture? And the first thing that comes to mind, the very first thing that comes to mind, you're going to work with that because that's coming from your unconscious. And your unconscious works really fast. And your unconscious is going to give you a symbol or maybe a set of symbols, some sort of picture. And it's going to project it into the room around you. And sometimes people say, oh, well, the picture is in my head. Yeah, it's in your head. But the unconscious is also going to project it somewhere in the room around you because the leading theory is that pictures that are closer to you tend to be more important, more impactful, more powerful. And so one of the ways that your unconscious mind stores the information of stress is by putting a picture around you somewhere. So you're going to ask, as I think about my stress, do I have a picture? And a picture is going to pop up. And first you're going to ask, well, where is it? Where is it? Or how far away is it? At what angle to my body is it? Where in the room is this thing? Is it black and white or color? What are the dimensions of this thing? How big is the picture? And what is the brightness? You know, 0 brightness, the lowest brightness means it's totally black. The highest brightness, it's like a star. It's so bright that you can't even look at it. What's the contrast? That means, what is the difference between colors? If you think about your TV, if you lower the contrast all the way down, it'll go gray. If you turn the contrast all the way up, then the difference of the colors is going to make it really hard to look at it. The, you know, purples are going to be the most purple. The yellows are the most yellow. So you're developing all of these awarenesses about this picture, about how your unconscious mind is coding this stress. As I think about my stress, do I have a picture? Where is it in the room around me? How big is the picture? Is it black and white or color? What's the brightness? What's the contrast? Is it moving? Is there any motion? Then you're going to ask yourself, well, are there any sounds? Do I hear anything as I think about my stress? And if you do hear something, get the details about that. Where is this sound coming from? How loud is it? Is it steady or is it pulsing? Is there a rhythm to it? Is it on or off? Then what about feelings? What do I feel in my body as I think about my stress? Do I feel a warmth or a hot or a cold or a freezing? Is there a pressure or a lightness? Where in the body do I feel these things? And then you can scramble all the information. Take the picture and start moving it away from you as far as the imagination can carry it. And as it moves away, make it smaller and darker and smaller and darker and smaller and darker until it goes so far it pops out of existence entirely. As it moves, move any of the sounds. If you heard any sounds, move those away from you as far as the imagination can carry and make those sounds dimmer, softer, softer and softer and softer until they vanish entirely too. Then as you're doing this, breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. Breathe in all the way down to your toes. And as you breathe out any of those stress feelings that you had in your body. Any of that old cold or hot or pressure or lightness, whatever you were feeling, breathe it up and out of you through your mouth. And I like to see those feelings fly away from me like embers coming off of a fireplace, where they go a little way and then they just vanish. And you're going to breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth until all of those old feelings of stress inside your body are gone as well. And once you're done, the picture is all the way out, the sounds are all the way gone, the physical sensations are all the way up and out, then you're just going to lock it all into place and check into yourself. How stressed out am I now from 0 to 10? Now, with this, you may actually be able to knock your stress all the way down to a 1 or a 0 on the first shot, which is amazing. Some people cut their stress in half, which is also incredible. Whatever result you get is wonderful. And remember, you can do it again. There's no limit. If you want to, do it again, right then and there. Okay, great. I cut it down from a 7 to a 5. Awesome. I'll do it again. Now I knocked it down to a 2 or a 3. Maybe you're good like that. And think about it. All you took, maybe 2 minutes. You know, when you get practiced at it, you can do it under 30 seconds. Bring your stress all the way down. Scramble that up. Recover yourself and get back to business.
Amazing. So again, guys, if you ever need to check back up on this exercise, just always you can hit replay on this specific episode and just fast forward to this piece. But please, please, please do take the time to really put into work this exercise that Dan's teaching you, because it is so powerful. And it really, 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 really will make a huge, huge difference. So on that note, thank you guys so, so much for tuning in with us. Again, let us know how these exercises and these techniques are working for you. We love, love, love hearing from you and hearing some of the big differences and changes that are happening in your world. So go ahead, send us emails, comment below. Otherwise, we will see you all on the next episode.
Peace out, guys.